Last week, Pastor Lizzie was talking about the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, I'm just going to give this as the middle verse. Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Therefore, go and make disciples. Make disciples is the main idea. The other participles are go and baptize and teach. Those are all support this idea of making disciples. That's what Pastor Lizzie was talking about last week, that we are meant to be disciples who are making disciples. But that's not the end of this story. See, Jesus, Pastor Lizzie mentioned this. This is part of Jesus' last words. But this actually continues. And it continues in Acts chapter 1. So we're going to pick up the story in Acts chapter 1, 4 through until I stop reading. Do not leave Jerusalem, Jesus says, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's part two. There are two parts to this Great Commission. The first, Jesus says, go make disciples. And then he says, at the same time, Acts 1:8, and you will receive power so that you can do that. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. You will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We have a little graphic for you. These little circles. The Gospels to begin in Jerusalem and then to move out to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This represents all peoples all over the world, starting to Jerusalem. Okay, so right after Jesus says this, he ascends into heaven, right before their eyes. If you read, carry on reading in Acts 1, you'll read this. And the disciples are watching him go up. And as they're staring, and Pastor Lizzie mentioned this last week, staring up into the clouds, two angels appear, and they're like, what are you looking at? Jesus told you to go and do something, right? You're supposed to go into Jerusalem and wait. So the disciples hurry off to Jerusalem. They gather in an upper room, and they pray together, and they wait, and they wait. And then Acts chapter 2 tells us that while they were waiting and praying in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came. He filled the room like a rushing wind, and tongues of fire came and rested on each one, and they began speaking in languages that were unknown. And what happened? They went out of the upper room into the streets, and people all over heard them speaking in this language. They're like, what are these Galileans? They're known for being uneducated. They're proclaiming the wonders of God in our own languages. And they began to preach. And then Peter stood up amongst them all, and he gave this amazing sermon. And at the end, verse 41, it says that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Boom! The church all of a sudden exploded. Revival. 3,000 people in one day. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, circle number one, complete. Right? The gospel was preached in Jerusalem. 3,000 people get saved. Remember what Jesus had said. I have a mission for you. Right? You're going to go and make disciples. You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. The Holy Spirit was poured out and began to preach the gospel. People get saved. The gospel had reached Jerusalem. Next step, Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 2, the very end, we have this beautiful description of the first church. And they got together and they gathered together every day in each other's homes. They were breaking bread together. They were spending all time, they were taking care of each other. And nobody went out. They all stayed there. They took care of each other. It was amazing. But they did not go out. Acts chapter 4, right, two chapters later, there's still, I mean, lots of stuff had happened. Peter had healed a cripple. They had been arrested. A couple of cool things happened. And then chapter 4, it says that people were selling all they had. They took care of the poor. Nobody had any need. Well, this is really cool, right? But nobody was being sent out. Then we have chapters 5 and 6. The end of chapter 6, they chose seven men who were going to help with the distribution of foods to make sure everyone had some stuff. So they had some structure, their first deacons, we call them. And they But nobody went out. They all stayed there. 6 chapters into the book of Acts, and nobody left. Why? Because it was comfortable. They were all Jewish. They all liked each other. This is really good. Look at how we're meeting together. All of our needs are being met. This is so wonderful. Why would we go out from here when we could be together? This is great. 6 chapters, nobody was sent out. They were just comfortable. Jesus has said, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's nothing wrong with Jerusalem. Jesus told them, go into Jerusalem. But they got stuck in Jerusalem because it was comfortable. Chapter 7, things get shaken up a little bit. Stephen gets arrested, and then he gets stoned. He threw rocks at him, and he killed him. right on. They threw stones at him until he died. He was killed. He was the first martyr of the church. And Saul, who was a Pharisee, who was looking at this and said, this is great, and he started persecuting the church. Chapter 8, verse 1, says this. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. What? It took until Acts 8:1 to do what they were asked to do in Acts 1:8. Right? It took them 8 chapters to figure it out, and took persecution to push them out. I love that everyone except the apostles were scattered. How many people were added to the church that first day? 3,000. All of a sudden, we got 3,000 missionaries. Right? The apostles are sitting there, and there's actually more added to the numbers if you read through Acts 4. But they were all scattered and all went out, and all of a sudden, the church was doing what it was supposed to do. It's taking the gospel to all of Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 10. All of a sudden, Cornelius' household receives the gospel. Cornelius was a non-Jew, a Gentile. The first time it had gone outside of the Jewish kind of thing. And all of a sudden, that is represented the ends of the earth, right? And so in chapter 12, we get to Paul and Barnabas. Paul was Saul, who persecuted the church, got radically saved. Anyway, he becomes the first missionary. So Paul and Barnabas get sent out as missionaries to all of the known world. All of a sudden, we're in Acts chapter 12, and they're finally getting this, going out. And the early church began to grow. That first early church, we often look back, now if you've grown up in church circles for a while, we often look back at the early church and be like, oh man, Acts 2, that's the church we want to be like, because they all took care of each other. But they were disobedient. At the end of it, they weren't doing what they were called to be doing. So yes, it was wonderful they were going out or taking care of each other, but they needed to also be going out. Jesus said there's two things you're going to need, right, to mobilize the church towards the mission he's called them. The first one he said was you need the power of the Holy Spirit. So wait till the Holy Spirit comes down on you, and when he does, then, next part, you need to go out. You need to step out of your comfort zone into the calling, and that's where they got stuck. Right? They got the Holy Spirit, but then they said, wow, this is good for me, for us. Look, let's just have a really nice church time. But they forgot to do the rest of the mission. They started well, but they refused to step out. So next Sunday, if you are here, and I hope that you are, we're going to be talking about what does that actually look like? What is the baptism with the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? So maybe you've been confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, those types of things. We're going to unpack that next week. So if that's something you're like, I'm not sure, next week you'll want to be here, we're going to unpack that. Because we don't want you to be confused. But today, we're going to talk about this aspect of the calling. So, quick recap, Acts 1:8. Jesus said two things would happen. Holy Spirit would come, you would go out. Right? Holy Spirit came, Acts 2. By Acts 3, everybody stayed. Right? It took persecution to motivate the mission. So what does this mean for us today? What does it look like for us today? We are called to be a church that moves from here, we'll call this Jerusalem, into the entire world that's around us. A church that is mobilized for the whole mission. See, what happens in here on a Sunday morning doesn't impress anyone. In fact, the world doesn't even care what we do in here. They don't even know that we're meeting. In fact, most people in Nanaimo have no idea that Harvest Church even exists. They don't care about our sermons, right? Our Bible studies, home groups, Sunday school, youth. They don't even care if we exist or not. Because nothing we do in these walls makes a difference out there. That's only half of the sentence. Let me tell you the whole thing. Nothing we do in these walls makes a difference out there if we don't take out of these walls when we go. We have to take in the word and then take it out. If it just stays here, it makes no difference. It's like the early church. Hey, let's all gather together. This is so good for us. We'll take care of each other. But we need to go out into the world around us so that they know the love of Jesus. So we can come here, we can worship, we can hear a sermon, but if we don't take the word with us, it doesn't mean anything. Pastor Lizzie talked about this last week. Remember the basketball team? It's like a basketball team calling a play. Captain, come on here, guys, come on. Hey, everyone, huddle up. Here's the play. There you go, hands in, everyone, go team, yeah. And then you go run back and sit on the bench, right? And then call another play. Hey, come on, guys, let's call another play. Oh, it's a good play. All right, I'm ready to team, go. Hey, go sit on the bench. If you saw a team do that, you'd be like, they're insane. Right. And yet, that's what the world sees. Right? We come together. Oh, we call a play. Oh, good play, Pastor. I really like those 3 points. Right? All right. Right, ready? Team, break, go. And we go sit down in our comfy chairs. Right? We have to move from hearing the play to running the play by stepping out of our comfort and into the mission. So what is missions? Very simply, it's going out of here to the world around us with the message of Jesus. But missions is not something that we do, okay? It is actually part of our identity. Missions begins in the heart of God. Our God is a sending God. God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world. See, God so loved us, he sent Jesus into the world, right, to bring salvation. And then Jesus sends us out into the world to take that message of hope. And when we have been transformed by Jesus, then we want nothing else than that the world around us would also know the hope that we have in Jesus. See, we have one reason to exist as a church, that we are sent into the world to point people to Jesus. John Piper says something about missions, and I love this quote, and then we're going to retool the quote, but he says this: there are only three kinds of Christians when it comes to world missions: zealous goers, zealous senders, and disobedient. I love that quote, but I want to rework that a little bit, because instead of saying three, I think there are really only two. I think that Christians, as we are meant to be both senders and goers, right? We have a sending God who has sent us. And being sent means that we go, we move. But also we are senders, that we mobilize others and encourage others as they go as well. Today, as a church, we are both senders and goers, aren't we? We have people who are going from here into Costa Rica, really a cross-cultural missions experience. And as a church, we are sending, right? We are sending and we are going. Now, maybe it's this morning you're someone who is like, man, I've always been curious about missions. Maybe it's something that you have this burning, because I believe that there are people in this room even who might be called to foreign missions. And maybe there's something in your heart, you're like, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like God's calling me out. One day in a church service, not much unlike this, I was sitting there minding my own business, and God said to me, I want you to go to Africa. And I said, no. I quoted Martin Luther, and I said, unless I'm convinced by scripture and plain reason, I cannot and will not do otherwise. Here I stand, so help me God. That's what I said to Jesus. And then he says, really, really? Anyway, through a long discourse with Jesus, through battle throughout the entire service, I finally said, okay, Jesus, I would be willing to go. And I turned to my wife, and we weren't married yet, we were engaged. And I said, Lizzie, I think God might be asking us to, or me to go to Africa. She said, I know, he told me the same thing. Okay, fine, we'll go. And then we spent 10 years in Africa. But so maybe God is talking to you about foreign missions. I don't know. But maybe it's even just, I want to get more involved in helping others go. Maybe. But I believe that no matter where God is calling you to, whatever mission field, whatever that looks like, whether it's walking across the hallway of your work to your neighbor, or walking across the street, walking across the playground to the other moms and dads or kids, whatever it is, whatever your mission field, maybe it's in Africa, the reality is he's still calling you today. And so our goal today is to step out of comfort and into that movement that God has called us to. See, church can't be a comfy chair, right? We're not meant to relax. We're not meant to just sit in comfort. The early church got comfortable, and it took persecution, right, to move them. I pray that's not our motivation, that we wait until we're persecuted to move out. So what is our motive? Our mission is fueled by the truth that God is greater than anything in this world, and our hearts burn to show everyone just how amazing he is. That's what fueled it. We are convinced that Jesus is the greatest thing in all the world, and we want everyone else to hear about it. Do you believe that that's true? Are you ready to step out of the armchair? At least that armchair view of church and our Christian walk, and be willing to step out of comfort and into movement. See, the world is not impressed by our sermons, but it will be changed by a church that lives out those sermons by going out, loving, serving, and witnessing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We're going to have some opportunity to do something today, so Pastor Lizzie, come on up. We're going to pray and close, and then we're going to do some practical stuff. So let me just pray for us. Jesus, I thank you that you are God, it's on mission, that you've called us to something greater than ourselves, something that pours from your heart, that you love the world so much that you gave your son. And Jesus, you love the world so much that you sent us into the world. And I pray that we would be both zealous goers and both zealous senders. Mm-hmm. And I pray against that disobedience, the temptation and the pull and the draw that it is to stay comfortable. May we get a grip of your heart, or a sense of your heart for the world. Would you give us a passion for the lost? Yes. A passion for those who need to hear your love. And would that motivate us to step out of our comfy chairs and into the world around us? So Jesus, I just pray a blessing over all of us. Pray your empowerment of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to send us out. In your name, amen.